Talk the Walk on AM 980 KKMS, more spirited talk radio.
It's Hershey time.
And I don't know that we've ever done this segment during the 5 o'clock hour. Very excited about this. This is False Teacher Tuesday, where we introduce to you some false teachers and try to compare what they say with what the Bible teaches. That's always a place where we need to go. Have for your consideration some clips from some individuals that befuddled me when I first listened to them. I went, what are they doing here? Why is this being taught? Why are they teaching this? Why is this important? Because whenever you got yourself a false teacher, you've always got to follow it back to the money. That's what is that smell? It's money. Always goes to the money. So I heard these clips and started asking myself, okay, why? Why would they be teaching something that is not biblical? And of course I discovered it. It's about the money. Let me share with you a clip so you can hear what I am talking about. This would be from prosperity teaching. These are individuals who tell you that if you give to them, you'll get, and you'll get good from God. Listen to this clip and do your best to not be offended.
Why did Jesus then on the cross say, my God? Because God was not his father anymore. He took upon himself the nature of Satan.
Hey. Did you hear that? Jesus took upon himself the nature of Satan.
What verse is that?
What exactly? Here's another one for you to consider, and we're going to start seeing a bit of a theme here.
Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is in the middle of that pit. He's suffering the very base end punishment. He is suffering all that there is to suffer. There is no suffering left apart from him. His emaciated, poured out, little wormy spirit is down in the bottom of that thing, and the devil thinks he's got him destroyed. But all of a sudden, God started talking. And when God starts talking, can't nobody get away from it. I mean, hell itself ain't far enough. It ain't deep enough, and it ain't wide enough to keep the word of God from coming in there.
All right, so Jesus is down there in hell, writhing away after the crucifixion, and God speaks the word and gives Jesus new life. In other words, Jesus was born again in hell.
Why did he need to be begotten?
Uh-huh. Why did the what's going on here? Here's another little clip about Jesus suffering in hell.
Satan was seated on his throne with a sickening grin on his face, his lip twisted in grotesque triumph, and all the imps of hell were dancing a jig. And the word came, we got him now! We've defeated the plan of God! And the devil was sitting there saying, I told you, if you'd follow me, I'd lead you to victory! We got him now! And they wrapped their grimy hands and the chains of hell itself around Jesus, and they consigned him to one of the cells in the Hades section of the underworld. And then Satan and his demon host went on a 3-day drunk. They thought they had him. They had defeated and thwarted the plan of Almighty God. And Jesus sat there, as it were, immobile, not saying a word, not doing anything, except serving our sentence.
Okay, what is going on, and what does that have to do with money? Let's see if we can break this down to see what. Why would they teach that Jesus Christ suffered in hell? Why would they do that? Why would they say Jesus was like Satan, or Satan had mastery over him, and Jesus needed to be born again? Well, this goes back to a teacher named E.W. Kenyon, who really stressed this type of teaching, and others have taken up that method, that theology, people like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, Marilyn Hickey, Jerry Savelle, Charles Capps, Robert Tilton, see him on TV all the time. Why are they doing this? It's about the believer identifying with Jesus Christ. Huh? It is about the believer identifying with Jesus Christ. Why? Let's keep pursuing this. This is what E.W. Kenyon taught, that Jesus Christ died physically and he died spiritually. Quote, Jesus was conceived without sin. Good. His body became mortal. Only then could he die. When this happened, spiritual death, the nature of Satan, took possession of his spirit. Okay, wait a second. Now we're getting more out of this deal. Furthermore, he said this, he was to partake of spiritual death, the nature of the adversary. It has been said that God could not do a thing like that. That is sense, knowledge, reasoning. Satan would become his master. He was, quote, united with the adversary. If his death paid for sin, then every man could die for himself. His spirit was taken by the adversary and carried away to the place where the sinner's spirit goes when he dies. His spirit absolutely became impregnated with the sin nature of the world. He was made to be sin. Further quote, Satan triumphantly bore his spirit to the dark regions of Hades. All the sufferings and torments that hell could produce were heaped upon Jesus. Jesus was born into the new covenant in Hades. Listen to what's happening there. Do you hear what's happening to the divinity of Jesus Christ? Two things. First of all, it's dramatically being lowered. Second thing that starts to happen, and we'll see this more in just a bit, is it's being separated. That Jesus' divine nature is being separated from his human nature. And some of you who know church history are starting to go, hey, wait a second. Wasn't that a heresy that existed once upon a time? You bet it was. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with this important exposing of prosperity teachers bringing down the divinity of Jesus Christ or separating his divine nature from human. Why are they doing this? What is the point of doing this? Why don't they just let Jesus be divine and sit on the throne as the Trinitarian God as opposed to a tritheist God? You'll see. We'll just go following the money next on False Teacher Tuesday, also affectionately known as...
It's Hershey Time!
Because it's heresy time got recorded wrong.
When Jesus steps aside,
sorry. Let's get back to False Teacher Tuesday, shall we? If you were just joining us here on AM 980 KKMS, can you turn the music down, please? If you're just joining us here on False Teacher Tuesday on KKMS... Sharing with you some teachers, we just heard three, maybe four clips of these teachers who were teaching that Jesus went to hell and he suffered there. That Satan was over him in hell. And that his spirit was taken by the adversary. And that Satan triumphantly bore his spirit to the dark region of Hades. And all the sufferings and torments that hell could produce were heaped upon Jesus in hell. Now, we're trying to figure out why they would teach this. Why would somebody in a pulpit teach this? Follow the money. Let's see if we can do that right now. What are they trying to do here when they say things like that? That Jesus was... Well, here, let me... Just in case you just joined us.
Satan was seated on his throne with a sickening grin on his face, his lip twisted in grotesque triumph.
Satan sitting on a throne?
And all the imps of hell were dancing a jig. And the word came, we got him now. We've defeated the plan of God. And the devil was sitting there saying, I told you, if you'd follow me, I'd lead you to victory. We got him now. And they wrapped their grimy hands and the chains of hell itself around Jesus. And they consigned him to one of the cells in the Hades section of the underworld.
That's not how it happened. But nonetheless, why are they teaching that? They're trying to make Jesus more human and you more divine. Why are they doing that? Well, the basic concept is this. Jesus was fully God. They teach, but he came and ministered as a man. Anointed with the Holy Spirit, the works he did as a man, not as God. Jesus came and ministered as a prophet under the old covenant they teach because Jesus ministered as an anointed man. Guess what? We too then can minister exactly the same way that Jesus did. With the same abilities, the same capacity, and garner the same results. Really? Is that what they're up to? You better believe it is. They are trying to make Jesus less divine and you more divine so that you can speak the word, get it, the word, and have the same results that Jesus had. Now, why is that important? Well, so that if you do that, you can manifest prosperity, and guess what you can do with that prosperity? You can give it to the false teacher. That's what you can do. John 20:21, Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you. Alrighty, after all, if Jesus did what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the same spirit. Well, then it's only logical we have the same results. We, the believers, are sent out just as the Father sent out Jesus, and we're to do the works of Jesus, and even greater works, remember? And that's the common line of reasoning within the Word of Faith movement. Now, so you know, this is so important. If you are in this movement, I simply would share this with you, and hopefully you ponder this more than anything else that I have said today. This is an old heresy, long ago, condemned by the church. There was a heretic a long time ago called Nestorius. Nestorian heresy? Ring a bell? He taught that Jesus performed his work by the power of the Holy Spirit and not by virtue of being God the Son. And the reaction of the early church was really straightforward. It was to damn any person teaching such things. Why? Because to believe this was, one, to take away from the deity of Jesus Christ. Two, it left Christ as a person with two natures, one divine and the other human. Which then, obviously, takes away his capacity as Savior. Therefore, we have the Council of Constantinople in 553 AD that said this, quote, if anyone shall say that his miracles in the flesh were not of the same person, let him be anathema. In other words, people teaching these things and believing these things were to be put outside of the community of faith. And that's exactly what we are seeing today. You just heard it yourself. Now, what are some other problems with this doctrine? It destroys the Trinity. The word of faith teaching that you are hearing here, that you're hearing presented here, this type of stuff.
Why did Jesus then on the cross say, my God? Because God was not his father anymore.
Uh-oh.
He took upon himself the nature of Satan.
Okay, what? Now, word of faith people, well, they're going to say we believe in God, one God in three persons. Careful now, we're getting into that Trinity language again that we've heard with Phillips, Craig, and Dean. They say they believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and these three comprise the one God. Well, so far so good. But then how do they explain that God the Son dies spiritually? Are there three spirits within the Godhead? Now, Benny Hinn, do you know, taught that God was actually nine parts? Because each member of the Trinity had spirit, soul, and body. And so the question before them is, can one person within the Godhead die, become sin, and not affect the other aspects of the deity? For them, it just doesn't seem to be a problem. Which leads to the conclusion, you can only believe that they do not believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, but instead are tri-theists, which again, in church history past, damnable heresy. Damnable heresy. That's scary business. Now, there's heresy out there. You know, earlier some of the teachings in Rick Warren's book are false, that I believe that are wrong teachings. Well, you could label them heresy, but is it damning heresy? No. But this stuff is, this type of business is, this is scary business. Now, another interesting question is, where do they get any scriptural basis for teaching that Satan is in hell? Let's just start there. Satan is in hell? That's what we just, this is, what I think this one.
Why did Jesus then on the cross?
No, that wasn't the one. Let's see, it was this one.
Satan was seated on his throne.
Okay, well, wait a second. Satan seated on his throne in hell? Who said, what biblical justification do they have for saying that Satan is ruling and he and his demon forces that we heard in this clip right here, this guy right here with his little demon forces.
Satan was seated on his throne with a sickening grin on his face, his lip twisted in grotesque triumph, and all the imps of hell were dancing a jig. And the word came, we got him now, we've defeated the plan of God. And the devil was sitting there saying, I told you, if you'd follow me, I'd lead you to victory. We got him now. And they wrapped their grimy hands and the chains of hell itself around Jesus, and they consigned him to one of the cells in the Hades section of the underworld.
Let's just go there right now, shall we? Because all of these guys, the Hagans, the Copelands, the Kenyans, past, all teach that Satan and demons tormented Jesus for 3 days. So to them, Satan's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of authority. Problem is, the fact is, the Bible does not place Satan in hell at any point prior to his final judgment and being cast into the lake of fire in Revelation 20:10. The Bible never shows Satan or demons to have any authority in hell whatsoever. God has authority over them, not Satan with authority over him. The fallen creatures are not displayed in the Bible as punishing the wicked in hell. It's myth. It's not even extra-biblical. It's non-biblical stuff. And so they teach that Jesus had to be born again, that Jesus had to be reborn.
Why did he need to be begotten or born? Because He became like we were, separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because he tasted spiritual death for every man.
Lowering God, elevating
and
you.
His spirit, an inner man, went to hell in my place. Can't you see that? Physical death wouldn't remove your sins. He's tasted death for every man. He's talking about tasting spiritual death.
Yeah, that's not exalted. This is, they get it from Colossians 1:18, where it says, he is also head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Ah, that's where they get it. But all that Colossians teaches is that Jesus Christ has preeminence over all existence. That's what it's teaching. It doesn't indicate that Jesus Christ was a created being, like a Jehovah's Witness would teach. Hebrews 1:5, today I have begotten thee, refers to when the Father begot Jesus again in hell. Benny Hinn says it this way, quote, he was begotten. Do you know that the word begot, what the word begotten means? It means reborn. Do you want another shocker? Asks Benny Hinn. Have you been begotten? So is he. Don't let anyone deceive you. Jesus was reborn. He was reborn. He had to be reborn. If he was not reborn, I could not be reborn. Now, why does he want that?
When you say, I'm a Christian, you're saying, I am Mashiach in the Hebrew. I'm a little Messiah walking on earth, in other words.
Uh-huh, in other words. He's not so divine, but you are. See, bring Jesus down, bring you up. Why? So that you have power to do what Jesus did. He could turn water into wine. You could create some money. You could create some healing. You could create some finances. And the early church fathers made this very clear. They understood that this passage, this Hebrews 1:5, and others like it, that the Son was eternally begotten of the Father versus being reborn in hell. This is a new, it pops its head up every once in a while, bad teaching. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, it has nothing to do with Jesus being born again and brought into the world from hell. It just doesn't teach that. Jesus was not ever born again. He was without sin, the spotless sacrifice. He never became sin. He was never lost. From the beginning, the church has regarded such teaching as damnable heresy, and I'm afraid it still is.